You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. We had a Willie Nelson and Always On My Mind. And never really on my mind, unless he's sitting here looking at me in his funny shirts, is... Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Richard. What is wrong with my shirt? There is nothing wrong with a blue with white pinstripe shirt. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a thing, and I bought it myself as well.
Well, that, there should be a lesson in there for you.
Well, that's not very nice.
Maybe take somebody with you next time.
Well, I don't know. Okay. I like my shirt, and okay. I'm wearing it
all right
today.
No, as long as you're confident about that.
Very confident. Very,
all right, so it's a life, love, and fruit salad.
The best of?
The best of. Okay. Mm. I normally leave the best of out.
I know you do. Yeah. Till afterwards.
Well, yeah. Mm. Because it's Jeff Kahn. The best. People struggle to get their heads around that.
Yeah, well, you do. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can imagine a lot do.
How to cope when kids fly the coop.
Yep.
Empty nest syndrome.
Empty nest syndrome. Mm. Ooh, you know, if we've got kids, we it's either coming or we're in it or we've experienced it. And I thought it would be really good to have a chat today about it because it's something that happens to us. And you know, it's a normal thing. I mean, but doesn't normal things – also can hurt, and this is quite an emotional issue, actually, for a lot of parents as well. And it's a psychological condition that affects both parents, obviously, and who experience feelings of grief and loss and fear and inability and difficulty in adjusting roles and change of parental relationships. So it's a big thing, and kids leave, and your mind goes a bit wonky for a while. And I thought we would talk about that, how to fix it, how to get through it, how to handle it, what actually happens to you, and look at the symptoms of it. And the symptoms really are quite serious, actually, because loneliness can set in, absolutely, your departure of your beloved child. You might feel overwhelmingly alone all of a sudden, no noise, no dishes, no shouting and screaming, no arguments, no cuddles, no watching TV. I don't know. It's kind of overwhelming. It's kind of different. And one day you wake up one morning and it's quiet. You don't have to go wake somebody up because it's oversleeping or needs toast and tea or whatever it is. So it can be quite isolating, actually. And emotional distress sets in, of course. And empty nest syndrome is that. It can be a roller coaster ride, Richard, as well. One minute you're crying at the sight of a family photograph or a picture you took with your kid yesterday or whatever, or the last week. And next you're fantasizing about what to do and all this freedom and space you've got and this quietness around. And it might lead you to feel a bit emotionally exhausted. And kids, by the way, kids don't get this. Okay, they don't get what you go through. So they off and they're excited and they're off on the adventure and they want to move into their flat and move in with friends or whatever, or go overseas or whatever it is. And they don't get how you're feeling. And you've got to try and man up. Even if you're a mom, you've got to man up to this thing. So you might have a loss of purpose as well in life. Now, all of a sudden, you're being a parent, and especially a stay-at-home parent. It's a full-time job, and now all of a sudden you've lost your job, as it were. And you don't see your kids daily. So something's missing in your life, and it can leave an enormous vacuum as well. And this void or sense of nothingness all of a sudden, and that sounds great, it sounds a bit hectic, but it is, may cause you to feel that you're lacking in purpose in life. And fear of lack of control. Now you can't control. Now, it's difficult. Your child's moved away and you can't keep tabs on them now. They may be overseas or they may be up country or in a different town, different city. You might feel tempted to check up on them, to see if they're every hour, run them every hour. You want to know their move. Are they okay? Especially daughters, you know, dads and daughters, and worry and anxiety sets in, and hopefully you trust the child. Okay. But you know, they're 21 or 20, 22, 23. They don't know much. They think they know a lot. In fact, 18-year-olds know everything, but when they get to 21, you know, they don't know they don't know everything. They don't know what the scary things out there. And you're worried about it because you know everything, kind of. And you know where the nonsense comes in, and depression might set in. And, you know, parents can spend around about 18 years looking after kids. And then there's this deep sense of grief and sadness that comes over you because now your baby's gone. You know, your little oak or your daughter or both, actually, can happen.
Yeah, this kind of happens when you've had, like, if you've got three children, when the last one leaves.
Okay, yes. Well, yeah.
That's so worse. The first one goes off, second one goes off. But when the last one leaves.
This is
when this
the
thing.
The final
or your,
curtain.
If you had two, you know, when the last child leaves. If you only had one, well, then, you know,
You've always got a distraction on the one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. And so how long does it actually last? So you're going through this, and if anybody is going through this and they've got any advice for people or just want to say something, please send it in on the WhatsApp. How long does it last? So it lasts a few weeks for some people. Experts say around about 3 months, but it can be between 3 months, 2 years, and forever.
Mm.
Okay, depending on you as well. So it's about 2 months to a year on average. So a survey did a survey, and they found it takes parents an average of 3 months to get used to an empty house. When we say empty house, it sounds dodgy, but it can even start before they leave. Your anticipatory emotional state is they're about to go. They're leaving in 3 months' time or at the end of the year. My word, I'm so worried what I'm going to do with myself. And it can affect your emotional well-being there as well. And 5% of the global population struggles with depression.
Mm.
So if you are struggling and you are having a hard time, just get to a professional, please, guys. Don't do this on your own. It can hurt you. Okay. And there are three stages of emptiness syndrome. There's the grief stage where you are really, really upset. And this comes from Karen Rubenstein, who wrote a book called Beyond Mommy Years. And she says there's three stages in this. There's grief when your child first leaves home. And I would agree with you, the last one.
Mm.
And you like to feel overcome by sadness all of a sudden. Teary-eyed and emotionally triggered by the simplest little things, you know. Sadness could make you withdraw from the world. It could as well, and for a time. And you try and deal with this immense change in your life. This is a major, major change. This is 18 years of looking after, running to schools, going to parent meetings, going to camp overs at the school and being involved in plays and all kinds of stuff, sport and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden nothing. Gone. So it is difficult.
I think when you're looking at multiple children, I think that one of the things to guard against is that if you've got three children and the eldest one now leaves, it's the impact of that leaving, because you're going to feel the same things, but it can be couched basically or covered by the fact that there are two other children or another child left behind.
Yes.
But it's going to impact, what you've got to guard against is how that impacts on the children that are left behind.
As well. Yeah. You've got to manage that situation.
You've got to manage that.
As parents. Yeah.
Yeah, because you may like treat them differently. And correct. By the time the third child leaves, you're like hanging onto their ankles as they walk in out the door. Don't go.
And make them feel really bad about it. Yeah. So the three areas are the grief, obviously, then relief. All of a sudden that sets in. And you realize after a few months, you might find yourself relishing your newfound freedom, actually. There's some positives that come out of here. We're going to look always at the positives as well. And the third one would be joy. You know, you've got your freedom. You and your hubby got, or your wife got, you know, time to travel or things to do or, you know, social things. So it might be a good thing as well. You get new social networks and, you can book a getaway without worrying about school holidays and all that kind of stuff. So that's good. That's a good thing. Are some parents more susceptible to grief and depression than others or to this feeling of loss? And yes, there are some parents that are more susceptible to, let's say, the average parent. So let's look at some of those people. Helicopter parents.
Mm.
Okay, the ones that are
hovering
and always looking and checking and worrying and on you all the time if you're a child. They will struggle when the kids leave. Okay. And the kids run from that generally. It's like the farmer's daughter's going to varsity and they just lose the plot because they've been controlled. And stay-at-home parents as well, they suffer from this as well because all of a sudden they don't have a job or distraction. So they will suffer from this. And it's essentially your job if you're a stay-at-home mom or dad or whatever. And then your job, you're fired, you know, because the kids are gone. Single parents suffer from this as well. As single parents, you might feel solely responsible for your child's well-being and happiness. And when they leave, you cannot go through the emotional struggles with your child's other parent. There's nobody there to help you with this. You know, there's no hubby or wife to say, okay, well, they're gone now. It's very quiet around here. Let's put some music on or let's go out or whatever it is. Okay. So the loneliness can set in there as well. Parents who rely on their parenting roles for self-identity struggle as well. And then parents with marital struggles, they also suffer with this because all of a sudden now the child is gone, the distraction is gone, and now you're stuck with somebody that you're having a problem in the relationship with.
Young.
And that can be an issue because a lot of parents will protect kids from the pain of their struggles and eventually divorce. And a lot of couples stay together because the kids are there.
Now the kids are gone.
And
now
then
what?
Now what? Mm. Now we don't want to be. I don't want to see you.
Mm.
You know, sight of your face makes me feel sick. And that okay, so it's a problem. So how do we deal with emptiness syndrome? So we can make social connections, new friends, new things, connect with old friends, perhaps enter a new social space, try a new hobby or whatever it is. Investing in friendships is a very healthy distraction initially. Don't get caught up that you stay at home and get out there and see your mates. Seek professional help. I think that's always what we say on the program. If you're really struggling, get some professional help. A trained counselor can offer grief support there and help you manage your emotions. And then set goals for the future. You and your hubby or your wife, set goals for the future, trips away, whatever it is. Setting up and achieving goals is an encouragement to you, and it develops your authentic identity, and that's very important. Take up a hobby or a new career. Reconnect with your partner. That's really, really wonderful. And in fact, 63% of empty nesters report they became closer with their spouse after the kids left. So that's nice. And practice self-care as well. Focus on the positives. So there are positives here. You're allowed to feel sad that your child leaves. It's an absolutely normal thing because it's a loss. You're grieving a bit of a loss in a way. But that being said, their moving out is a normal and positive change. And they're excited about it, and they're about to, you know, embark on the world. And, you know, they, you know, you should encourage that as well. I know it's difficult to encourage that they leave you, but you know, you've done a good job. You've built up a fantastic person, an individual that can look after themselves or do well. They trained, they've been to varsity, you've done all of that stuff, and you deserve a huge congratulations for getting them to the stage where they're ready to leave the coop. And keep in touch with them. You know, don't just leave them to do their thing. Keep in touch with them, especially if they're in another town or if they are overseas. It gets a little bit hairy out there when they're overseas as well. And it's normal, and you're not alone. There are all of us parents have been through it. You've been through it. I've been through it, Rich. Invest in your self-care. Look after yourself and healthy relationships as well. Okay, so negatives becoming an empty nester is your feeling of loss or grief, of course. Loneliness, isolation perhaps. Uncertainty and worries about your kids and are they going to be okay and where they're staying and are they going to be able to eat and, you know, all that stuff. And positive becoming an empty nester is rediscovering your individuality, strengthening your marital bond. That could be good. And children out the house, couples find themselves with more time and space to nurture their relationship. And that could be good. You can rekindle your romance again and deepen emotional intimacy. And encourage these activities, both of you. Career advancement, perhaps. You can go back to what you did. You do your painting or whatever you need time for that you were using with the kids. You could do that, and professional growth as well. So there it is. And I thought we'd just have a general discussion on feelings and how we feel about these things and how to cope with them. It's very important. And you've been through it. You've seen your son leave. But look at him. He's a great guy. He's a strong man now. He's highly talented, and we're lucky in that way. We've got both of those kids.
Well, it was a little different for me because my son didn't live with me.
Okay.
He lived with his mother. We were separated. He lived with his mother. Although for some years he did live with Judy and I in Komiki. But eventually we ended up throwing him out rather than
quite a big guy. He must have been quite strong at the time.
Rather than him leaving. Because, and I say that in jest, but therein is another pitfall that you hang on to your kids for too long. You try and make it almost too comfortable for them at home that they don't want to leave. And now all of a sudden you find that they become as older young people, 23, 24, 25, still dependent upon their parents. And in this day and age also, it's unlikely that at 18 or 19 a child is flying the coop because they just cannot afford to do it.
Correct.
You know, rents for places are high. Varsity fees are expensive if you're in arrears. It's really a minority of young people who are able to leave home at sort of 18 or 19. So that period is stretched a little bit to, say, 23, 24, 25, sometimes even older.
But that's also okay.
Yeah.
That's also okay, as long as it doesn't get to 40. You know, that's a bit difficult. About 40.
Yeah, but sometimes that does happen, but then there's circumstances that are different. But the reality is that it comes a point, and this is why I was saying we threw him out eventually. It comes a point when a child gets into a comfort zone and then doesn't take the next step themselves of their own decision making and their own and now you have to take action.
Yeah.
And that then in turn leads to another level of stress where you now have to have this confrontation. Say, listen, you know, you are now, look, you're 35 and maybe you should be looking for a place of your own.
And good luck for matric.
Yeah. So somewhere along the line there's that. Yeah. As well, I think this whole empty nest thing is not just about. Or I'm just asking. It's not just about a child finishing matric or going off to varsity or finishing varsity and going off to build a career, then that's it. I think that part of it is also the child staying too long and then it being a whole lot worse because now you've had this confrontation to throw your child out in the street and now your nest is empty. And it's been ugly, and you're feeling guilty, and you're feeling this, and you're feeling that, and you're feeling the next thing.
It's a different show. I think it's a different conversation to have there. I think it's too much of a big subject as well just to glance over because I think you've picked on another subject that we could talk about. Because, that does tend to become a problem, especially if the child is a problem. I mean, things come in like alcohol and drugs and all those kind of things come in. It changes the ballpark. What I'm trying to get here is that every family situation is different. You absolutely said it right, 100%. So everybody is different. But generally, it's normal for kids to leave and to go on their way and everybody's kind of happy but sad. So it's a two-edged sword here, in fact, because you're sad they're leaving. I mean, in my case, I had to say goodbye to my son at 20 because he got this huge opportunity to get into America and to get a green card and to study and to do all of that stuff. And it was a tough decision for the two of us to make. But it was all done with love and knowing that he was going to be a success. And I had to let him go. I had to have that. And luckily, we're still very, very close. We speak twice a week, and it's fine. That's absolutely 100%. But, letting your child go. I've got a friend of mine as well. He's got two boys. They are brilliant guys. They're geniuses, actually. And I said to him, listen, I can organize to get the guy to the States. Jason can maybe help get, because he's an IT genius, this youngster, son of my friend. And he said, no, I don't want to lose them. I don't want them to go.
No, that's the other thing. You don't want to be standing in their way.
And
I think that is
it's another problem that comes up. And if your kids and you get on well and you're like mates as well, you're a dad, but you're their friend as well. And the relationships are all good, but you've got to let them go, unfortunately, and let them live their life. You know, and you can't control their life either. You know, you can see stuff going wrong and you just got to stay away and say nothing and let them go through the stuff that they're going through. And kids today, if they'll make decisions, they maybe get engaged or whatever, and they decide not to have kids.
Sharon says her daughter is 31. She has an excellent job. She bought her third new car. She's been looking for an apartment to buy but hasn't found the right place yet. She pays her way, and we're happy to have her at home, and she doesn't squander her money.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's acceptable.
That's, I mean, fine. In today's age,
the thing that we're talking about for Sharon in particular is that there is going to come a time when she's maybe 32 or 33 or 34 and she finds that apartment and she leaves.
Yes.
That's when these things come into play.
Yes, but it's nice if the apartment's in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, look.
If it's somewhere else, it gets scary. It gets scary.
In Belleville.
That's scary on its own. You don't want to go there.
In more ways than one. Okay, so, I get that. I think, but there are a group of parents who, and I know some of them, who are like, look at you across a Brian, and their teenagers are running around the house, and they think, I can't wait. I just can't wait to get them out the house. I want to turn that bedroom into a man cave or something like that.
But that's normal. I think it's quite normal because you're wanting the kids to get their wings, you know, and become who they are supposed to be in life. And that's quite normal. It's just, and it's worse for the woman. It's worse for the moms, I think, because they're the real nurturers from baby and whatever. And dads, of course, we're around. But the mothers take huge strain here. 90% of the pain and anguish comes from the mothers, actually. Mm. You know, the dads kind of handle it because you're going to have to.
Yeah.
But moms take strain. And, so moms out there, I hear you and I feel with you guys, but, you know, you're letting go a person that is going into the world and going to do amazing things. And you need to let them go, unfortunately, and let them do their thing.
This is what happens in nature.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And the thing about it, when we look at it in nature, we think to ourselves, how cruel. And maybe that's part of why we think like we do. You know, you look at a mother kick the bird out the nest and it's floundering around on the floor and it's trying to, you know.
And the bird says, how cruel.
Anyway,
it's okay. We're all in it together. We're either going to go into it, we're either in it, or we've been through it and we know. And trust yourself and your child. Trust what they're going to be doing. If you are struggling with stuff, get some help. You know, talk to your husband or your wife. Get some support around this. But it doesn't last forever. As long as you see them doing well and, you know, sort of finding their feet and getting their life sorted out and they're having a good time, they're happy, man, you've done your job.
Jan raises quite an interesting point here, and a good point, one that we haven't mentioned this afternoon. So the child is going to leave, is going to leave, or has left. Because of the way we feel about them leaving, the emotions that we're feeling, there's a high risk of trying to make the child feel guilty.
Be careful.
For moving on with their life.
Yeah, be careful.
Be careful of doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Be very, very careful of doing
good
that.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. It happens.
Yes. I'm pretty sure that it does.
Because you can't handle it. Yeah. And all of a sudden,
Are
you leaving now?
How are you doing, Dad? Well, not so bad. And you're not here.
Yeah.
You know? That is something you've got to be very, very careful of.
You've got to be a good actor, especially in the first year or so when they're really struggling. And how are you doing there? I'm absolutely fantastic. Really, I've just left.
And who are you and why are you phoning me? Are you from a call center? Do I know you?
And you blocked the number. Sure, no. It's all good, guys. Yeah. It's all good out there. And to the parents, you know, the kids don't realize this stuff.
Yeah.
They don't understand this until they have their own kids that go through it and they go through. They do not understand what you're going through. And so for them, it's exciting, you know.
And also when they do look back, because children still, young people still need their parents, no matter what age they get to. When they do look back, when they do want to slip back into the arms of their mom and dad and, you know, You've got to let them do that too.
Absolutely.
You can't turn around now and say, well, you chose to leave. You know, stand on your 2 feet. That's ugly. You can't do that either. So.
No. That's not good fun. Family dynamics.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was enlightening. That was enlightening. Some good points stuff. Raised here on the WhatsApp. All right, so we're done.
We're done?
Okay, so I don't have to deal with you until when?
No, I'm out of here. You don't have to deal with me till Monday, maybe.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks' time we have another show.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, drive safely.
Thank you so much.
Take someone shopping with you in future.
Yeah.
Very important.
Well, for sure.
Very important. You see. Maybe if your son was still staying at home, he could have given you some fashion.
Okay, I'm going now. It's getting ugly. I'm leaving home. I'm flying the nest. Thanks, everybody, and have a good rest of the day.
That was Jeff Kahn on the Best of Life, Love and Fruit Salad. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time.